Now, verse 21. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Now, they were rather reluctant in Jerusalem to accept the Apostle Paul. I think without Barnabas, he would probably have waited a long time before the church in Jerusalem would have received him, because he'd persecuted the church. And very candidly, these men knew what it was to be converted. They knew what it was, but to have an experience that was absolutely world-shaking, that would transform a man. But you know, they couldn't believe that this man, Saul of Tarsus, could have been converted. That just seemed to them an improbability. In fact, it was impossibility that he could never have been converted. And so what we have here, well, Paul outlines here for us in this section his first years after conversion. And I don't think, friends, these were the happiest years of his life. I think that he tells us something about the failure during that period in his own personal life. And that's in the 7th of Romans. We've looked at this before. And at that time, I suggested there were three periods in the life of the Apostle Paul. There was that period when he was a proud Pharisee, marvelous mind, an expert in the Mosaic law. And as many of his biographers have said, the world would have heard of Paul the Apostle if he'd never been an apostle. He'd even never been converted. He was an outstanding man. And I don't think there's any question about that. But he was a proud young Pharisee. He knew it all. He hated Christ. He hated the church. And he attempted to eliminate it, by the way, and he began this persecution. And then on the Damascus Road, he's knocked off a donkey down in the dust. This brilliant young Pharisee finds out that he doesn't know Jesus Christ, whom to know is life. And he became acquainted with him. And Paul immediately said, "Lord, what do you have me to do?" He thought he was dead. "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. And when you persecute my church, you persecute me." And so this man here says that he went through that period. And then after he had met Christ, there came the years in Arabia. There are these first years as he attempted to minister. And he said, "What I wanted to do, I didn't do it." And he cries out, "O wretched man that I am." Now, that's not an unsaved man that said that. That's Paul the Apostle, who is actually in the first stages here of conversion. He's just been converted just a few years. And then there came that wonderful, glorious period when he walked by the Spirit of God, as he'll tell us in this epistle here. And that was the time that he could live for God. And, oh, friends, that is the place that many of us need to come today. There are a lot of unhappy Christians today. They're saved, I think. Dwight L. Moody put it in his quaint way. He said, "Some people have just enough religion to be miserable." And I think that's the picture of a great many today. Now we come to this second period, actually, in the experience of Paul here, and that's his experience with the apostles in Jerusalem. I do wish we had more on this particular period. And you'll find out the oneness now, because there's a real question that arises at this point. And I'm sure that it's already arisen in your mind, and the question is this. If Paul received the gospel apart from the other apostles who were with the Lord Jesus 3 years, who saw the resurrected Christ, and who had this experience with him, the question is this. Is Paul and the other apostles Are they preaching the same gospel? That's pretty important right now. Because if Paul is not, something is radically wrong. And so we see Paul's experience as he goes up, actually, to Jerusalem. And now for the first time, he meets with them, and we'll see that Jerusalem approved Paul's gospel.